Hello, welcome to the Kids Cannabis Hour. I'm your host, Alexis Bortel, and I'm a pretty normal kid, except I take whole plant medical cannabis for my epilepsy. Here we talk about issues facing patients and caregivers, and we also talk to experts of all kinds in the medical cannabis industry. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for spending this hour with me. Hi, and welcome to today's show. I'm joined today by Dean, my dad, Lisa, my mom, and Avery, my little sister. For the first part of the show, I want to talk about my story and family. And on the second part, we are going to be joined by Dr. Tom Minahan from Mallory's Hope. On July 10th, 2013, is when I had my first seizure. I woke up with my family all around me. I had to ask them, what's happening? It was really scary. I mean, I had no idea what was going on. So they rushed me to the hospital because 911 wasn't working. And they weren't specialists at that, so they transferred me to Children's Hospital. And then I was diagnosed with epilepsy. And Dad, what didn't you think I did have it? Because you would know as a parent.
Yeah, it didn't go well. I mean, you know, from the time we got to the hospital, there was confusion. They were doing their best. You know, they played 100 questions with Mom and I about your history in the families, or epilepsy on either side of the family. And you know, of course not. I come from a farm. Your mom, we don't have a lot of medical background there, but certainly there wasn't a history of epilepsy, so that was the last thing we were thinking about. I mean, if you'd asked me before that if there was even a 1 in a billion chance you had epilepsy, I'd have said no, because we would have known. I mean, you know, seizures happen all the time with people who have epilepsy.
Experience.
Yeah, or at least I thought
me,
so.
As me as your child for 7 years at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I figured there would have been some clue. You know, if it was something long-term like epilepsy, that your mom and I would have known. I mean, we weren't helicopter parents or anything like that, but we still watched you. I mean,
yep.
Your room was right next to ours every day. I mean, sit down, have dinner.
No surveillance.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
Chopper 6 from regular show.
Yeah, Chopper 6 from the regular show. So, yeah, I was surprised. I didn't expect it. Certainly didn't expect a diagnosis of epilepsy to be confirmed by several neurologists. I figured it might get thrown out that it was a fluke, but it just didn't turn out that way as the coming years, which I'm sure you'll get into, would prove out.
When they released me from the hospital, they prescribed me this drug called carbapenem, and it was a powder because I think they opened the pill. And they sprinkled it on applesauce because the taste wasn't so pleasant. And after that, they prescribed me Carbitrol, I believe, which is actually a pill. And the first time I took it, it felt like a decade for them trying to convince me to take a pill for the first time.
Right. You'd almost never taken a pill before. I mean, we had to...
It felt like a decade.
Yeah, I think we actually had to train you using M&Ms, right? The miniature M&Ms?
Yes.
Yeah, because you didn't even know how to swallow a pill. So that was that was scary. I mean, both your mom and I were nervous about that. So yeah, the Carbitrol was second. We did the carbapenem first. It didn't work, made things worse. And then you progressed into Carbitrol, which is a swallowable capsule, which you didn't like. To this day, you don't like taking pills, so.
And then after that, we combine it with Depakote because it's gotten her seizures gotten worse, and then we had to try to take some of them out and just Depakote by itself, and that still continues, and she's got new seizures that we've never seen.
We switched neurologists in there. We went from Dallas Children's, who are doing really well, but not always the most responsive at that time, you know, much like a lot of the rest of the country where you have to wait for appointments. And when you have an epileptic child, when they get sick, you have to talk to someone then. You can't wait a day or two or three or four because it gets bad in a hurry.
Yeah.
So we switched to a provider in Plano, Texas, one of the best epileptologists a pediatric hepatologist in Texas, and maybe the nation. I've heard his name come up a lot in discussion. So the guy, he was good. So he took us through the drug trials, and, you know, we did, I think, Depakote through him and some other stuff. So why don't you pick it up there, Lex, with the Depakote and then when that didn't work.
Well, when you were taking
it would stop the grand mal, but my absentees and we call them mini seizures, it made them a lot longer and worse.
I think what she's saying is she get clusters.
Yeah. I would say it worked, but didn't work. Oh, my. Oh, boy. This doesn't make any sense, but it worked, but it didn't work.
Well, she ended some of the seizures, but then she
New ones came, so it's like we're not even on a drug at all.
Right, and not to mention you got pretty mean. I mean, it just...
I didn't want to get to that.
Yeah, there was definite behavioral issues with the Depakote when you were on it.
Is that why she keeps on being mean to me?
Yeah, back then, yeah, that's why she was mean.
Well, that's one of the side effects with Depakote.
That's actually, no. It's also just sibling stuff. Well, it's normal. Yeah.
Well, she still being mean to me right now. And here.
But, yeah, that's one of the side effects with the Depakote, too. We had some rough time with her, I hate saying that word, Dean, just not normal behavior. And when we were watching this, what was that? Weed 1, Weed 2, and, well, that was it at the time, 1 and 2. We heard about the medical cannabis, and that's when last year, do you remember what month it is last year, Alexis?
August something. I don't know the exact date.
Yeah.
And it was August.
What did we do in last year when we went to Colorado?
We came here, Colorado, to look at research about the cannabis we were hearing so much about.
Yeah, and that was an interesting trip because, you know, Weed 1 and 2 were great, and some are calling them watershed documentaries as far as the movement goes, but... And this is for families, unfortunately, out there starting this journey. The good thing is you're not alone anymore. The bad thing is if you just watch Weed 1 and 2, there's
three.
Well, there's three now, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you watch 1 and 2, you probably know 3 to 5% of what you need to know. They get you asking the right questions. But as you learned, Alexis, there are many different kinds of cannabis, right? Not just Charlotte's Web. Which is what Weed 1 and 2 focused on, which, not saying it's a bad one, I'm just saying that it, you know, they didn't mention many other strains. And so we go to these doctors and they start rattling off. I'll never forget sitting in the doctor with you and you had a seizure in the doctor's office, which is pretty rare. I mean, you were not doing very well on that trip to Colorado.
Well, actually, she's seen three doctors and, she was, at the time, it was just kind of odd right at that appointment. She was seizing.
You were not doing very well in the altitude at all. You were taking at that time Depakote and Carbitrol, I think, both. And
yeah, the mix.
Yeah, the mix. And so that wasn't going very well. And like I said, they deteriorated significantly after your airplane ride up here. That was dangerous in itself.
So Alexis, at school, how did it affect you in school?
Well, when I was on the medications in Texas, either in the morning or on the car, I was having, let's use the term, mini seizures and auras. So I'd be tardy a lot. That's one of them. And like, oh boy, it was really embarrassing being tardy a lot. And sometimes like I had to go to the nurse right when I got there because I was having that, and Mom had to stay with me for about an hour at minimum. How was it like, Mom, when you had to, what was your opinion when you had to stay there every time I had that?
Well, I stayed because I was worried about you and wanted to make sure, well, most of all, sometimes too, we just have to turn around and take you home because you would not get better. You were either, it was just affecting your school, or sometimes they would say, you know, just take her home.
But the result of that is, drumroll, a million pages of schoolwork, which I don't enjoy.
Catching up.
Yeah, I remember I'd be at work, and I'd get those emails from the nurse's office saying you were there, and it was just dread.
Spam.
No, it wasn't spam. It was just every time you went to the nurse's office, we got an email, and it was like every day. And that email would come in, and I'd be like, gosh, from Georgia. And not the state Georgia.
Or
Georgia
Fritz,
was the nurse's name.
I think.
Or Fritz. And so we'd get the emails from the school that would tell us what was going on. You'd gone in there, and I was just, it was just dread. Every time that email came in, it was not a good thing. And you were going how often to the nurse's office?
Once or twice a day, probably.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, it was not sustainable. And yeah.
And I'm not usually sick.
Right, you're not usually sick. I mean, you're a strong kid. I mean, there was no history. It probably made accepting you had epilepsy that much harder for Mom and I because there was nothing ever wrong with you.
And of course,
before I had epilepsy, I was like, I hardly went to the nurse's office. It was like, if I wasn't feeling good, like nausea or something like that, I usually only went once or twice a month to the nurse.
And I think it's important for people to realize kind of where we are. We get asked a lot what Alexis's diagnosis is. And her diagnosis right now is intractable epilepsy of unknown origin, basically, because your brain is structurally normal. Your EEGs are not normal. The front left, I want to say hemisphere of your brain is always abnormal, spiky
signals. I wish you could say everything was normal.
Yeah, right? But people get picked for some strange stuff in life, and this is just the way it is. But, you know, we don't know. We did, you know, many, many, many thousands of dollars of tests, and basically we came out with was that pharmaceuticals didn't seem to help you, and they don't know why you have epilepsy, which is not uncommon. I mean, that's not a unique story in the epilepsy community.
Because what is the percentage? Can you guess a percentage of people that they don't know why they have epilepsy or seizures?
No, but an interesting statistic is that if you fail, if three drugs fail you, and you go on to that fourth drug, that from fourth on, and you can go to infinitum, or from fourth on, you have less than a 10% chance of finding relief. So once you've done three drugs, that's pretty much mathematically it.
And they ask you about brain surgery.
Yeah, they brought up brain surgery. That was not something we were too keen on. And then we ended up at your favorite drug, which was, well, Colorado introduced a new drug, right? Let's be clear about that. Yeah. Colorado introduced a new drug, Omfi, which is a benzodiazepine or whatever. It was a,
all these
out of
big
Canada.
Words. It's squishing my brain.
It's literally, I think. That didn't work. Just made you loopy. And then we get back to Texas, and what did they, after it didn't work, what was the next drug?
Felbitol.
Yeah, Felbitol. And Felbitol.
And it didn't look so tasty when I looked at it.
It was pink, though, right? Wasn't it pink or orange?
Usually the pink ones are bad.
Yeah, it was not good. And so we get the Felbitol, and, you know, the doctor had told us, and we loved this doctor, but he had told us in his office, whatever you do, don't Google this medicine. So like the good parents who've been following doctor's orders and the good patient, Alexis, we filled the prescription at Walgreens on the way home. And how much was that, Mom?
300 or something.
Close enough.
Yeah, it was some ridiculous
amount.
That's
after deductible.
Yeah, that was with insurance.
Imagine if I was actually taking it. That would be a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Especially from a kid's view.
Yeah, $350 a month. And just, that's with insurance again. We contacted your pediatrician in Carrollton, and she'd been your pediatrician since 2007. This was in 2014. So she'd been your pediatrician most of your life. Since you were two.
I'm not going to say the name, but starts with a W.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's the one that told us when we called her before we gave you the Felbitol to talk to her about it, because she's known you longer than any doctor you've ever had. And she was like, no, you come see me right now. And saw you after hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she saw you after hours. You were doing really poorly and got you a referral to Cook's in Fort Worth.
I believe she had two EEG there, too.
Yeah, yeah, she had EEG after EEG. I mean, my gosh, I can't even count them.
And do you know how hard it is to brush my long hair after those EEGs?
Yeah, and most of your EEGs, you had some in-house, right, where you had to stay in the hospital.
And school.
And school, yeah. But most of them were what they call ambulatory, which means you could run around with that backpack and they were on your head and you just wore them all
yeah,
the time,
right? Yeah, they did that most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time they were ambulatory. And then we got our first real kind of coordination of the events and some things that were happening in the back end. So they did help, but they're very expensive too.
Very expensive.
Tell us how your life at school changed once you started these ambulatory EEGs and things like that.
The most hurting question a kid has asked me, and she was younger than me, are you contagious?
And why did she ask that?
Because I had the EEG on.
And how'd you feel about that?
It just, like, hurt emotionally.
Just because you didn't feel like them? Or what? I mean, what?
Like,
they look at you different?
A lot of kids stayed different and kept questioning.
Like there was something wrong with you.
Basically.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's an education thing. But they got used to it, right? You did a lot of them. Did it get better? Or
my class got used to it.
Your class got used to it? Yeah.
But aftercare, no.
No, and never after. Yeah, I can understand that, though. You don't see those kids all the time, so they weren't used to it.
Yeah.
So tell us what happened in February of this year.
In February, I had the biggest seizure of my life. I woke up and I'm just going to say hospital people. It's a good term for kids. The hospital people, they were all around me, and I was really scared. I mean, well, Dad was there. That made me more comfortable, at least in my sight. Was Avery still asleep?
Where were you at, Avery? Were you there when the ambulance and all the paramedics came when 911 got there?
She was snoozing.
Yeah, I was sleeping.
I'm surprised that didn't wake her up. All those loud noises.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
And they
had
to bring me out in the cold to come in the truck, and it was raining.
Yeah, it was. We could have had a better night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough one. That was a 911.
Wait, when she was in first grade or second, or what grade are you talking about?
Third.
Oh, yeah. How was I still sleeping? I didn't hear anything.
That is very surprising.
She sleeps good.
She has an alarm like a lullaby, and that wakes her up. It's the...
That does not wake me up. That makes me go back to sleep. That's why I always wake up late.
That's a very good excuse.
So they took you to Dallas Children's again, right? We went back to Dallas Children's?
I like that place. I'm used to it. But I don't,
that's sad.
I don't like to go there, but out of all the hospitals, that's probably my favorite one that I would prefer going to. But I mean, like, the one that's the childish, if I actually had to go.
So we decided to move to Colorado, right? And we're intentionally skipping the political side of this. We'll get to it in a minute, how you ended up in politics. So you end up in Colorado in March of this year, right? What was that like?
It was good welcoming. Most Colorado people don't love the snow because they get it a lot. But in Texas, you hardly get any snow, so you love it. And when we came here, there was a bunch of snow.
Okay, so you're in Colorado, and you start the cannabis. How does your initial treatment on the cannabis go? How's it take? What are your impressions of it? Were you scared of starting cannabis, or what did you think?
Okay, I'm just going to make a list. It doesn't taste good, like almost all other drug, or medication, I should say. But it does work. You could get in a pill or the oil, but we take the oil. Wait, is it an option? Is it optional?
Yes, it is. You can take a pill, which some people do, right? Because they just don't like the taste of, I believe yours is made with safflower seed oil.
Uh-huh.
So they don't like the taste of that.
Well, I run it down with juice.
I got a question for you, Alexis. Since you started taking the medical cannabis, how does it feel afterwards, like getting up in the morning, getting ready for school? Stuff like that.
Well, like almost any other kid, you want to stay in bed.
But?
Sometimes I wake up at 5:45 just to get early. And then I'm not all stressed out when I could play with a cat if I had extra time. Because Kitty, she can be lazy when she wants to. Or she can be energetic and will have enough power to break a window.
So do you have any problem waking up?
No. Except I don't want to wake up.
I'm trying to remember the first time you took a dose. Were you afraid of that first dose?
The cannabis or
Yeah, Texas? The cannabis.
Yes.
And you take it as an oil, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't smoke it. You've never smoked cannabis.
No, I don't want to smoke in my life.
What oil do you take? What cannabis specifically do you take?
The Haley's Hope oil.
Right. Haley's Hope oil, but you add a little bit of
THC.
Right, THC
and
oil to it.
What
too.
Is the ratio?
Well, I think right now the Haley's Hope is 22 part CBD to 1 part THC.
But so it's not a lot of THC, but it's still legal in most states.
Yeah. But remember, we tried that with you alone and it helped.
It helped, but it wasn't the best. Let's just use the term perfect almost. There's no such thing as perfect, but let's just use that word. It wasn't a dream come true, but it helped.
Her record on pharmaceuticals when we left, how many days?
Two.
2 days. And the Haley's Hope brought you to roughly 33, was it 33, Mom?
Yes.
33 days.
Yeah, 33, but then she had the stomach flu.
Right, she got the stomach flu.
I don't like the stomach flu.
And she wasn't taking the full dose. We were increasing it little by little.
Yeah, you had a seizure at day 33, but you hadn't started adding the THC, which when the doctor, Mom, if going back to you, when we think back about the doctor, what they had told us that we may see ratio 50-50, where we were at 1-to-1 THC to CBD. So they told us, add a little THC, and let's bring that final mix down to 15-to-1. And when we did that, what happened, Lex?
It got rid of my seizures.
Yeah, and you're at how many days now?
I am at 157.
157 days.
I got it correct. Yes. I am so intelligent.
You want to give a shout out to one of your friends?
Barbara.
What do you want to say to Barbara?
I love you and I miss you.
She said she was going to come see you.
Yay.
So, yeah, we look forward to that. So, hello, Barbara.
Looking forward to going back to Texas.
Yep.
Whenever that is.
Except it's so hot in Texas, and y'all are just creepy
okay,
bugs.
Okay, we got spoiled in Colorado.
Yeah, the weather, the scenery, no bugs. You could get
I've
spoiled
I've only
here.
Had 2 or 3 mosquito bites since I've been in Colorado.
Oh, I do want to mention about when she was taking the medical cannabis on the side as a rescue, the THC gel. I mean, we have the oil, too, but the THC gel, what was it called? The sativa.
Yeah, you're talking about the Mary's Medicinal
yes.
THC
I had to
sativa
use that
pen. Yeah.
3 times?
3, yeah.
And it broke her auras.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good another thing to point out because people ask us a lot, you know, what do you mean by seizures and symptoms? Because we always go by seizure and symptoms days, right? Now we're saying she's 157 days seizure-free. Absolutely true. But, you know, she's been sick how many times?
I lost count. 3 times or?
Yeah, I think it's 3.
3. Okay. And the first time you had a seizure at day 33, right?
Yes. The first time I was just nauseous, but the second
she had the stomach flu twice. And then before that, she had a cold.
It might have been continue.
But then I don't really consider the cold. It was just a minor. But still, when we were in Texas, small, you know, just a little sore throat or any kind of cold, she started, it wasn't good. I ended up having to take her home.
ER.
Yeah, she's just. I call it clusters. What I mean by that is it would happen all day, but it would she'd have mini ones and then happens again after 10 minutes and then it would happen again 30 minutes later, an hour or so. She'd have a cluster especially when she's sick.
I don't like being sick.
But here we don't have to worry about that. And if she does, if she feels that she's having that auras, what do you mean when you're having auras, Alexis? What can you describe a little bit about auras, your auras? Because they're probably wondering, what do you mean when you have auras?
It could cause numbness. This sounds a bit weird, but you know how you get goosebumps? Well, it's like that feeling, but going back into your head. Like, it's a shock moving through your brain.
Like static?
Like static. Yeah, that's a good word for it.
And so that usually comes before a seizure? That's your warning
yes.
sign that one's coming? It's pretty accurate, right?
Yes.
But I do know when you were having that at school, that seems
I
pretty
would see
common.
Spots.
Yeah.
I would see spots.
That's one of them you complained about. And some of them you probably didn't remember. It's headaches, seeing spots.
Migraines.
And what you say about the statics, yeah, migraine. And then you get that numbing feeling and spasm.
Let's be happy and kiddish for one moment. Pink fluffy unicorns.
She hates talking about it because it gives her memories. She just wants to start a new life and be normal like everybody else.
But I still want to be unique in a good way.
Okay, so that basically covers the medical side of your story and how we got here. I guess the high points are, Lex, that you have to take THC. CBD only did not work. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and for rescue medicine, Mom, did you think the doctor was crazy when they told you that THC would work as good as Versed or Midazolam?
Oh,
which,
boy.
Which, for those of you who are listening, that's the, you spray it up their nose, basically.
I was nervous using it at first because you hear so much about people, warnings about THC is not good for kids or this, but when...
Hi.
Yeah, but it's barely just a drop. It's so small.
That's 1 milligram we rub inside her wrist.
Yeah, and yep. She's not even taking it. It's just in the wrist, and it's amazing. Within seconds, I notice a difference. She just, instead of fighting me to where she just gave me a hug, and she got rash, I mean, in reason, just gave me a hug and said, I'm sorry, and she had a tear. She's like, why was I acting like that?
Yeah, I remember that first time you gave it to her. And
it was amazing, and I don't know why people are afraid of high, because I really didn't notice that. I mean, she, every day, she acts normal as a normal kid.
Right. And let's be clear here. Every anti-epileptic drug that we were on anyway, they affect the brainstem. It's how they work. And so they do cause behavioral changes and various other changes. So the word high, if you're really going to generalize it, every pharmaceutical she was on, legal, FDA-approved pharmaceutical, caused some kind of a high, if you will.
It was, with the medicine, pharmaceutical medicine she was taking, it was a challenge trying to get her ready. Not only she was getting side effects, but she was still having seizure, but it was hard for her to wake up. I have to get her to wake up, but it was hard. She was really tired, sleepy. That was a thing. And that's what's one of the side effects of the medicine.
Let's ask Avery a few questions. Like, what does she like knowing that her sister, which is me, has seizures? Avery, how do you feel about that?
It makes me feel, like, sad a little bit.
You're worried about
her? Sad a little bit, scared.
Yeah, she was. Every time... It's traumatic for Avery to see that a lot of times when it's happening, which is a good thing. She's usually sleeping or any other room. But when she does see Alexis, she starts pretty scared. It's just scared. She was scared and just yelling at Alexis to wake up.
Okay, Alexis, so as we wrap up the medical story here, what is the biggest thing different about your life now that you're on medical cannabis as compared to when you were on the pharmaceuticals?
Can I name two?
Yes.
I'm not going to be so serious, but I can finally bike and I can swim without wearing 3-year-old arm floaties.
And that's worth mentioning, right? You feel more normal?
Yes.
A good question too, Alexis, is how is it different now? Do you feel any different or is it the same? Or, you know, at school, being in school, how are you treated?
Like a normal kid.
Exactly.
Of course, I like being unique, but a normal kid.
Okay, here's a good question. You said you went to the nurse every day, roughly, in Texas, right? Maybe a day that you didn't go here and there. How many times have you been to the nurse since we've been to Colorado? And this goes all the way back to last...
Third grade?
To you got here in February of last year.
Yes.
So since February of last year all the way up till now, how many times have you been to the nurse at school for auras or seizures?
I haven't been to the nurse at all because of a seizure or aura.
Zero.
Or mini seizure.
So you've gone from every day.
Yes.
To none.
Basically eliminated.
That's pretty
amazing.
Bye
bye, seizure monster.
Who does have a name? But that's going to be a contest, right?
I know what you're thinking. That will be our first contest because, yes, he has a name. Dun, dun, dun.
Another teaser.
Dun, dun, dun. Mom's doing a giant face palm.
Yeah, she's like, oh, no.
Shaking my head.
That wraps up my medical story. So we are soon to speak with Dr. Thomas Minahan. So stay with us for that. We'll talk to y'all after our break. I would like to welcome Dr. Minahan to the show.
How are you doing?
Good.
I have some questions for you as a doctor and as a dad. Do your friends know that you're on a very controversial treatment for epilepsy?
If you're talking about the ones at school, no. But I do have some friends that aren't at my school, but they know.
And do you know much about the controversy? Can you kind of tell me what you know about this? I'm curious what someone your age knows about this kind of a treatment.
Well, I guess people would see it dangerous because it seems new, but it was really used back in history.
Yeah, absolutely true. Some people do see it as dangerous. There's some people that are concerned that maybe delayed.
Some people think all it does is get you high.
Yeah, and that's what I thought for many years, and until I researched it myself a couple of years ago. But yeah, there is some concern that people using this will have delays in their development and delays in their schooling and stuff like that. But I'd like to see, as a physician, from a physician standpoint, the study where one who does or doesn't have seizures, if there's a difference. So if you have 1,000 seizures in a year, how's that person compare to the person who does not have any seizures in that same year in development and progress in school? So glad to hear you're doing well. It's a real testimony. There is something there.
How old is Mallory?
Mallory just turned 13. She's had seizures since she was 14 months, though. It seems like all these seizures, they're all different and not one size fits all.
When she was younger, had she ever had a seizure over 10 minutes?
No. Now, Mallory's never had a seizure probably longer than 2 or 3 minutes. Now, you have, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Mallory's never had that. I have taken care of a lot of kids who have had seizures for hours, and I've thrown all kinds of medications at them in the emergency room without success. Some pretty sad cases.
How many seizures did she have a day when she was on the pharmaceutical drugs?
She was having 30 to 40 seizures every month, so averaging 1 to 2 a day. And it was a routine of, most of her seizures are at nighttime now. And it was routine of not, if she was going to have one during the night. The question was, when was it during the night? Was it going to be 11 p.m., a 1 a.m., a 3 a.m., or a 5 a.m.? And then followed by another one an hour later. So 30 to 40 a month is what her numbers were on pharmaceutical meds.
That's similar to what I had.
Yeah. So, but now she's down for about 90% decrease. She has 1 to 2 a week, roughly. Some weeks better, some weeks worse. But for the most part, much better. And Mallory had not been in school for 3 years. Prior to this, she was either seizing too much or having effects of Valium to stop the seizures or stop the what we call clustering seizure followed by a seizure followed by a seizure, that she was just not with it. And so we had a home tutor coming in to help teach her. And there were many days the tutor would show up and say, "She's not with it today. You're wasting your time and your money. Why don't I go home?" And the tutor would leave and go home. So she lost a lot of days in the last 12 years.
I was having trouble at school when I was on the medications. I was having trouble in school because I had to keep going to the nurse when I was on the pharmaceutical drugs.
What kind of problems did you experience?
It'll sound strange, but I kind of had it felt like a shockwave or something in my head. Basically like how you feel when you have goosebumps on your arm or something like that. It's so hard to explain. You have no idea. Well, maybe because you're a doctor.
No, I still don't know. Emergency room doctors don't know seizures really well. We know the obvious ones. We know how to treat them. But we don't treat them long term. and nor do we see people who have auras very often. We see people who come in who are typically shaking violently, who have been shaken for a long period of time. And that's what most doctors know, in the ER anyway.
All right. How has she changed since she was on the cannabis medicine?
So since being on cannabis, she went back to school, has been more responsive. In other words, you talk to her and she's like, the lights are turned on, and her seizures went down by 90%.
So that's great.
Mallory is a kid who doesn't say much often. She would normally, like, I'll give you an example. She would normally get in the car with all the kids. We have four kids all around Mallory's age. And would get in the car, and Mallory would just sit there and not say much. So after being on the oil for about a week, we jump in the car one day. We're going to church. She gets in. She looks around, and she says, good morning. How is everybody? So Mallory's a different kid for the better on the oil.
Good. That is excellent. I can't say anything else. It's anything that has to do with great.
Yes, absolutely.
Splendid.
Yes. I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you. I'm glad Mallory's doing well, too.
Yeah. And your dad and myself, we share these stories because I think if we were selfish parents, we'd say, well, our kid's doing well. Let's leave it at that. Versus trying to share it. And so you become more in the public eye. But I think it's the right thing to do, to share it, to tell people that there is something there. I'm not sure as a physician that it should be first-line treatment. But anyway, it's worth looking at. It's an option, and it should be in the list of options for people with intractable epilepsy, I believe.
Does she like pets like cats, dogs, fish, hamsters, things like that? What's her favorite, or like?
We have two hamsters in the house that Mallory kind of takes care of, feeds, and takes care of, and cleans the cage once a week. I'm a dad who's not a real fan of animals, so I refer to them as rats. But apparently they're hamsters. So
I love cats.
They're hairy rats. So those are Mallory's pets.
I love cats and dogs. They're so furry. Best term for it.
That's true. Furry.
What's your favorite food? I like macaroni and cheese. And Alfredo. I love
Mallory. Noodles. Were you ever on diet therapy?
No.
You probably don't know what I'm talking about. It's okay. So Mallory was on a diet called the ketogenic diet for almost 2 years. The ketogenic diet actually cures 15% of epilepsies. But a lot of doctors haven't heard of it, and so it's not promoted in the world because there's no drug reps going to the doctor's office promoting high-fat diets. But it actually cures 15% of epilepsies. Cures doesn't make it better. I mean, cures wipes it out entirely.
A diet is, so I'm kind of on track.
It's kind of like an Atkins diet for those other people who have heard of that. It's like an Atkins diet on steroids, really amped up. So Mallory was on that diet for almost 2 years. This diet's done at about 100 university centers in the United States. It's actually indicated if you fail two medications, so it is a well-known, it's a treatment not as well-known as it should be. So Mallory, on this diet, had to eat all kinds of different things, high fat. And so there's some meals that I look at, I'm like, wow, that doesn't look very appetizing. Mallory will eat about anything.
What about milk? Was she able to have milk? Was it had to be low fat, or what about milk?
No, during that time, no, it had to be high fat.
Oh, wow.
So it was a high fat diet that seems to do the trick. The chemistry is not really known really well behind it. Some ideas, but not definitely known. But she was eating at the time a high fat diet. Now she eats just about anything she wants. Which is about anything we put on the plate. She has two brothers and a sister who will, let's put it this way, they're picky. But Mallory eats whatever's on the plate. She eats it all.
So she isn't picky. I'm a bit picky with some food, so.
It's okay. Most kids are picky. you're allowed to be picky. Mallory's just one of these people that we were fortunate when she was on the diet, too, that she wasn't picky. She could eat all kinds of things.
Except I do love spinach.
Ooh, that's green, though. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't eat green things, okay?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
That.
Just kidding.
What game does she like? Like, hide and seek, or my favorite game is Cats and Mouse. We played it at school. It was where there had to be a lot of people, but this is I'm talking about a school game here. You can do whatever game, but so there would be, we had 18 kids in that class, so there would be a huge rainbow parachute, and there would be a cat and a mouse. The mouse would be under the parachute, crawling around, while the cat tries to get him, but he's on top of the parachute. And while the other kids, making it like a wave, putting a lot of motion into the parachute, just...
Oh, sounds like a great game.
It's fun once you get to know it. It makes no sense when I explain it.
Yeah. No, Mallory does a lot. She is partial to playing board games. The game of life. She plays the card game Uno.
Oh, I play Uno a lot.
We'll have to put you two together to play Uno.
It's on.
Yeah. And then the game Trouble, where you bounce that little red die.
I've heard of Trouble, but I haven't played it before.
It's pretty intense.
I've heard of Sorry, which is kind of like that, I think.
You know what? Maybe that's the dad in me. Maybe the game is called Sorry. I thought it was Trouble.
It could be one
you
of those.
What?
I don't know.
I bet it's Sorry. I bet I got it wrong. Bad dad.
But I did hear of a game called Trouble before.
No, it's probably Sorry. I probably have it wrong.
Sorry. Does it have, like, different color? Like, I think there's green, yellow, blue, and red. There's four of them, I think. Things that look like the thing you use in Chinese checkers.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you? Yeah, then that's probably Sorry.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right. What's it like as a doctor to see medicines fail and cannabis help? And you can't help the ones in other states that it's illegal.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's frustrating. It's frustrating when you've got something here that seems to work for some people, makes some people have no seizures at all. Some people get huge improvements. For some people, it doesn't work. And I think it has to be looked at as a treatment option. And it's kind of sad and kind of pathetic at the same time that it's not moving along. And
I bet it's frustrating because as a doctor, you would want to help people, especially as an emergency at the ER.
Yeah, so I will sit there and watch my kid have a seizure at 2 in the morning, thinking, can I do better for this kid? I should be able to. I'm an educated person in the world of medicine, and I've spent the last 10 years trying to study epilepsy. And I sit there, and this is a couple of years ago, and you watch your seeds, and I'm like, you self-reflect a lot. As a dad, you're like, I could do better for my kid. As a doctor, I could do better for my kid.
Dad describes it like a feeling of a failure.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the truth. And but God gives us talents, and I think we're supposed to use them to their fullest. And so we kept chasing stuff, and and you look at stuff, you look at options, and we only did this because the option we were given was a medication that was very, very toxic, and so I just couldn't see doing that to my child, because I knew the risk of the toxicity, the risk of the medication was death, and I didn't want to see my kid dying from a side effect of a medication. So,
was it the medication Felbital?
Yeah, exactly. You know that medication, don't you?
We want to know what's weird. My parents, they bought it, but they never gave it to me. So there goes about $300 or so.
Wow. Yeah, it's expensive medication, and apparently for some people it works, but it's a very toxic medication.
We saw your video, And we may not have been here today if we didn't see it.
That's a possibility. I just know that there's a side effect. It doesn't affect everybody, but it does affect some people. And the risk is so bad that it's recommended you get blood drawn frequently, and not frequently like once every 6 months. I mean, starting out, it's every couple of weeks. Watch for the side effect. That's crazy. It's so toxic.
As a dad that must have, and a doctor that must have felt real risky.
Well, Mallory doesn't like getting her blood drawn. We had somebody show up at the house to draw blood, and she realized what was going on. She ran onto the kitchen counter and jumped up on top of the refrigerator.
Oh, wow.
She did not want to have her blood drawn. And when she did have blood drawn, it was like you were cutting her arm off. So she's not a fan of blood draws, and that was also one of the things about this drug being so toxic, and to have blood drawn so frequently was going to be emotionally damaging. But so was, you know, so was having seizures frequently. That's emotionally damaging to her and to us. So, you know, there was a lot of things that weighed in that decision. But Felbitol is a dirty medication. It may work for some people, but the side effect for something called aplastic anemia.
Bone marrow disease? I think that's one of them.
Bone marrow disease, essentially, yeah. So your blood is made out of your bone marrow, and this stuff shuts your bone marrow down, potentially.
All of those are very, very risky. And my child, I wouldn't risk the chance of having to deal with that, too.
Well, if you get the side effect, for every 4 people that get the side effect, 1 will die. That's crazy. But yet we accept that in the U.S. and say that's the best we got. We've got to do better. The physicians should be embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. That's the best we have out there. That was offered to us by a very well-published physician at a very well-known medical center. I get what people... I work in an emergency room, and where I work is a trauma center. So I see people crash their cars. I see people use drugs. I would say probably 2 hours of my shift never goes by without me seeing some results of illicit drug use, whether people shoot it up, they smoke it, or something like that. I've seen kids with alcohol in their system in the first couple months of life. I've seen kids less than 2 years old with methamphetamines in their system. So we have a problem in this country, and I can understand how politicians say we have to block all this stuff to avoid the problem. I'm not sure what the true solution is, but I understand the heart behind blocking illicit drug use.
That must be chaotic and so stressful to see that happen almost every time in your shift.
Well, it is. You see kids and I see adults, and these people are wasting their life away with illegal drug use. And marijuana used to be in that same category for me. 3 years ago, if you had asked me, I would have put it in the same category, because the same guys who came in using marijuana, they said for back pain, but they were just trying to get stoned and didn't want to admit that, because in California, that's not legal to get stoned, but if you have back pain, you can smoke it.
As a doctor, what has been most frustrating for you through all of this, everything that's happening with Mallory and many others?
Oh, the most frustrating, that's a good question. You know how you know what's most frustrating is neurologist. Now, I'm an emergency room doctor, so I talk to specialists all the time, and every time during my shift, I'll call somebody and say, hey, I have this patient needs to stay in the hospital. And so I talk to people like neurologists. But neurologists are the biggest group right now who are against this treatment plan. Majority, and I think it's a fair statement to say, majority of them would prefer that we wait, we do the studies to prove there's something there, and then implement this. The gentleman who really promoted the ketogenic diet, when his kid, Jim Abrams is his name, he produced the movie Airplane out of the 70s. If he had waited for his kid to have all the studies done to show the ketogenic diet worked, his kid would have been 17 years old when he became seizure-free, not 20 months. And in fact, he has said in a statement that he may not even be here. Imagine seizing multiple times, up to 100 times a day is what he was doing until you're 17. That's no way to have life. And so he has no problem, and I agree with this. Parents trying this option for their kids. You have to when everything else has failed, even when everything else hasn't failed. Some of the toxicity of the medications, they're real. So the neurologists are not on board with this. And the conferences I go to and I see neurologists, they're not fans of this, but eventually they'll get there. And for us people like your dad and myself, we couldn't wait, like Jim Abrams said, till someone's 17 years old versus 20 months old for a shot at having seizure freedom.
My doctor is studying cannabis, and I give blood monthly.
So that's good. So your doctor's tracking probably your level.
Yes.
So, and that's great, and more of that needs to be done. But now, see, someone has to pay for that blood test. Someone has to consent for that blood test. And then if you want a really good study, they'll want an EEG. Remember they put the wires around your head?
Yes, it's not that enjoyable.
So they'll want one of those
long
before
hair.
And after. And to make the study really strong, they want you on only the certain number of medications, and they want to know the dosing, and all this stuff has to be standardized, and they want hundreds of people with the exact same stuff to make a study really strong, to make it really good and provable. Otherwise, like, this one's on this oil, this one's on this oil, and we are stuck with anecdotal, and I get that. And that's some physicians' reservation about this.
With that EEG in my head, you don't know how hard it is to untangle my hair. I have long hair that is, oh my gosh.
You should shave your head.
What? No. Not happening. Not ever happening. What do you think it will be like in about 8 years? Will I go to Disney World or Disneyland?
In 8 years, there's people that I thought would never be on board with this type of a treatment in the political setting who realize there is something there. Senator Feinstein is a prominent senator from California. She's been involved in politics for many, many years, and she knows that there's something there. Local congressmen in my area have realized there's something there. And there's bills going through Congress right now that they're pushing. So in 8 years, I'm only hoping that you can travel to Disney World or Disneyland if you want to, and not be drug trafficking, because from a federal standpoint, if you travel with that oil, that's technically no different than traveling with heroin or ecstasy. These are bad drugs, by the way. They're technically no different. So that needs to change so that you can live life outside of the legal states.
Thank you for the work you do.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to do it. It's the right thing, like your dad. It's not about our kids. It's about other kids. Sharing the story so it changes some lives. So I'm glad to hear stories like this really truly make my day. I know a little kid who's a year and a half old who was having 500 seizures a day back in February. They tried a bunch of options. And then the dad wanted to look at this oil, but was he was reluctant. And he heard the story. And this 15-month-old kid, in the last month, has had no seizures, 500 to zero. There's got to be something in this oil. There has to be. The neurologist who takes care of them says, who is, I think, reluctant to believe in this stuff, says, I'm a believer. I talked with this neurologist, and she says, I'm a believer. This kid has made me a believer. 500 to zero, and it was proven with an EEG on this child. So it's happening. Hopefully it doesn't take 8 years, because that's not fair to the kids born today, that they would have to wait, say 8 years more to actually get some medication.
So excited to grow up and go to a fun place, but it turns out they may have a disease and can't go for a long time.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be that way. You should be allowed to travel. We live in a great country, a lot to see, a lot of sights to see in this country. But it's sad that you can't travel outside the state.
Well, thank you for your time. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, my pleasure. Good to talk with you, Alexis.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
So I thank Dr. Thomas Minahan, and I wish Mallory the best. And I send a special shout-out to Barbara. Keep doing what's right, and I'll talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.